can do it for the June 13, 2016.
I'll move.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion or comments, corrections? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are accepted. Any public comments? With regard to chairman comments, I don't have too much, although congratulations to Dr. Gerlach on her appointment to Nalbo. This R3 in here. So that's very cool. Yet another thing to try to keep going. Just don't sleep at night. So I think at this point we'll go ahead and get on with the budget, proposed budget.
Good morning, or good afternoon, actually. My name is Denise Gilbert, and I am the fiscal manager for the Division of Health, and I have the pleasure of sharing with you our 2017 proposed budget today. I'm going to start with the revenue and share with you how the roughly $8.6 million of our revenue is split among sources. At the top in the blue, that is our federal sources, and we have two in the 2017 budget, the HUD, or the Housing and Urban Development grants, and then a small Coverdell grant for our forensic laboratory. In the large sort of brick red section, that is our state funding, and most of that is our consolidated contract, which includes public health preparedness, immunizations, all of those standard funding sources that we've had. The large green section at the bottom, roughly 28% of our budget, is made up of grants. And that includes things like we have programs with the Healthy Wisconsin Partnership programs. And we also have our Family Foundation grant in there for the Nurse Family Partnership and Parents as Teachers programs. So that's the largest portion. In the purple, this other section, that is either outside contracts like our KUSD nursing and all of our fees that we receive for the services we provide, the environmental as well as nursing fees. And then the two sections at the top, this is the City of Kenosha, what they are providing or proposed to provide in our 2017 budget. And then this small section up at the top is our levy. So roughly about 11% of the total budget is Kenosha County levy. And this is your pages 2 and 3 and 4, I believe, in the packet, the yellow packet. I just wanted to walk through some of the changes that are going on, things that are up or down. I'll start with FTEs. In 2016, we just had a couple of changes. One is a Vivitrol nurse was approved, and that has been hired, and that is funded through the Division of Aging and Disability Services, so they are working through the health department, but we do pass the costs. And then in the HUD program, last year, late in the year, our program coordinator left, and one of the risk assessors was promoted to that position, and the risk assessor was not backfilled. So we have left that position open. And then also this summer, we had a small reduction in our Family Foundations program, so we do have a 1.23 FTE reduction. And in 2017, in July, we're proposing a second or additional Vivitrol nurse. So that is a 0.5 FTE. And then we do have the HWPP grant for suicide prevention. That grant ends in 2016, and so there is a small reduction in a partial FTE. So that's how the FTEs shake out, and then these are the dollars associated with those FTEs. The addition of the Vivitrol nurse is roughly $88,000. The elimination of the risk assessor is about $96,000. And then the reduction in the Family Foundation's grant funding was about $130,000. And then we are adding the nurse, like I said, in July, additional Vivitrol nurse, that's $40,000. This is the reduction of the HWPP that I mentioned here for the staff hours of $24,000. There's been, they'll be implementing, or it's being proposed to implement, a compensation study that took place this summer for $64,000. And then the rest of the salary increases are about $59,000. We had another $69,000 in health insurance increase, a small increase in retirement and workers' comp. For a net increase in our salaries and benefits of about $83,000 from 2016 adopted to 2017 proposed. The second section of our budget or expenses relate to contractual changes. There was a small decrease we're seeing in the data processing costs, and that's related to that new EZMR program. The costs are not running quite at the same level that we projected in the adopted budget for 2016. Now that we have a year under our belt, it's a little less expensive. We have the lab maintenance agreements. This is basically a reclass from this line to this line. We just decided to put all of our lab maintenance and all of our machine, all of the maintenance agreements that we have into one area. So you see a decrease here, but an increase down here in office machinery and equipment. And then there's also a slight increase there for some of the equipment that we have, like the Helmer cooler. We put some money in the budget to either get a maintenance agreement or for potential improvements that we might have to make, or fixes. And then we have our ongoing with our fleet continuing vehicle maintenance. The next segment or section of expenses is supplies. Last year, we had a couple of pieces of equipment that the lab was purchasing. So in 2016, we spent about $4,100. We're not doing that this year, so that's the change you see there. The advertising, that's mostly related to an HPV program where we're doing a lot of advertising for trying to get the word out on getting immunized. That's all grant funded. There's a small increase in mileage and travel, and that's mainly related to that family foundations. We have, you know, 1.23 less FTEs. The clinic services here, the lab and medical supplies, much of that is related to the urine analysis supplies that we have to purchase. The number of UAs that we are completing through the Vivitrol program, that continues to increase. So we have an increase in the lab and medical supplies. You will see a benefit though, further down, we are able to charge those expenses from health over to the DADS group or the Division of Aging and Disability. So you will see an increase in our outgoing charges. Let's see, we have a small increase in staff development. And then in HUD, there's a just a slight decrease in the operating supplies. We haven't been spending in that section of the HUD at the same level that we had in the past. But we do anticipate a slight increase in client relocation costs. We currently have MOUs with the city of Racine and Kenosha for the, they actually reimburse us when we have to take folks out of their homes and put them up for 3 days or whatever while they're working on their homes. So we have MOUs that are expiring, and we're not sure if they're going to be renewed for the last year of the HUD grant. So that is why you see a small increase there. And then in the fixed charges section, we have the a small increase in property liability in the insurance, a small increase in building rental, and then we are proposing the replacement of a 2001 truck that we currently own out at the county building, and we have proposed replacing that with a leased vehicle. So that's the $5,100. Then related to purchase services, which is most of our grant programs, we have the HUD lead hazard control. This next year will be the third year of that grant. And so we know that we have a certain number of units we have to complete. So we have an increase in those purchase services. As well as with the WIC services, there are three programs that run through WIC. And we have included in the past just the base WIC program, but there's also some, it's called SNAP Ed. There's some breastfeeding initiatives and farmers markets. So those are all included in that segment. The purchase services, this is for the Nurse Family Partnership Program. The ongoing cost of having a contract with the Denver program. Here. We have most of these are all, like I said, all grant funded. So we have a little bit additional funds for tobacco control. Same with public health preparedness. In this ECCS program is continuing to grow for us. So we have some additional funding there in 2017. And then the purchase services was something that we had budgeted under the prevention grant, but we won't actually be doing that in 2017. And then this large number, we were able last year to purchase that equipment for the lab. They had a large piece of equipment. It's been purchased and implemented and is operating upstairs. And so you see a pretty large decrease here from 73.5 to 18.5. And then I mentioned previously the UAs, the number of urine analysis that we complete here in the health department has increased. And a number of those are for services provided in other human service groups like DCFS or DAD. And those, so we are actually getting a credit or a reduction of our expenses for that. And so we have seen a pretty significant increase in that charge out. I don't really want to call it revenue because it's interdepartmental, it's a transfer. But because of that increased volume, that benefits our budget. And then, let's see, we have this small decrease here is for lab because we are now looking at it all in the clinic services as opposed to in the lab. So those basically offset each other. We can talk a little bit more about the revenue. You know, we mentioned it when we were looking at the pie chart. This is our revenue changes for the year. As I mentioned, we purchased that large piece of equipment in the lab for $55,000, and that was done through bonding. Obviously, in 2017, we won't have that, so that's a reduction. We've had an increase in the state consolidated contract. Most of them are small dollars for each one, but they do add up to about $40,000 increase. This is the suicide prevention grant that I mentioned that ends in 2016. So that is a reduction of about $100,000. Let's see. We also had the end of our NACHO grant. It was a breastfeeding grant where we could focus our services and try to improve that. And that grant ended in 2016 as well. So that's a small amount of revenue goes away. We had a small decrease in funding, as I mentioned, in the family foundations. We have an increase in our family planning reproductive health. That is quite a bit of that is related to pass-through, where we have services provided by other people throughout state of Wisconsin, and they pass through their expenses to us, and then we get reimbursement from the state. About $120,000 of that total is actually Kenosha County, where we are getting to use those funds. We've had a decrease in our immunizations. The revenue, we're just seeing less people coming in for the immunes here. We believe it's because they can now go to their primary care doctor, or they have insurance that they didn't have before, so they don't come to the health department. So we are seeing a decrease in that. We did have a nice, or we're anticipating a nice increase in the Family Foundation's Medicare revenue. As we continue to have fully staffed nurses, we're able to provide services that are billable and reimbursed through Medicaid. I mentioned in HUD, we are in the last year of the grant, and so we'll see an increase in the number of units there. And the Kenosha Life Course Initiative, which is through the HWPP, or the Healthier Wisconsin Partnership, that program we proposed in 2016. It's kind of an odd year. It starts in May and ends in April. So we proposed this year to add a mental health coordinator to that program, which is grant funded. And so we are seeing, that was approved, and we are planning to initiate that, and you'll see that then in 2017. So there is an increase in that funding. And then the City of Kenosha contribution has gone up, and that's based on the most recent Maximus calculation. And then the last piece is the levy. So that is how the roughly $8.6 million of revenue for Kenosha Health, the Health Division, how it will be used or is proposed to use in 2017. The last piece of the presentation is the fee schedule. And this is our sliding fee scale. And we've updated the 2016 poverty level information, and then proposed the types of services we'll provide: level one, level two, level three. If you have any questions, I can certainly try to answer them.
Anybody with questions? That piece of equipment that you talked about, the HUD handheld equipment?
Yes.
So the 18.5 is used for what now?
The 18.5 is actually in there again for the HUD, that handheld equipment. It tests the paint chips. They put paint chips into it, and then it determines whether there's lead in the paint or not. And we did not purchase the one. It was proposed in 2016, and we did not spend that $18.5, so we put it into 2017. But the $55,000 for the lab, that did go away. We purchased it, it's done, and in 2017 we won't be purchasing.
The contribution from the city is based on 3 years ago.
Two
years ago? And are they aware of that number now, the increase?
And I sense everything.
How long ago?
Mid-September, and then we had two conversations.
They've had a chance to absorb it.
Yeah, we've had two conversations since then, and I've had nothing else.
Frank hasn't.
I worked with Frank and Carol.
So they're well aware.
They are well aware.
But it's a bit of an increase for the city, though. But I think you've resolved that issue down previous, from a legal standpoint. Here. Okay.
I had one question on the flu shots. Does the health department have to buy all of them, in other words, predict how many they're going to use and pay up front for those, whether they use them all or not?
We get our vaccine from the state. It's only our purchased vaccines that are non-available to the state that we purchase those, but otherwise they all come through the state. And then because of 340B, we've seen federal ruling. That's why we've seen a reduction. People are supposed to go to their medical home, although we still see individuals that come to our clinic. Some physicians don't want to store and go through all of the maintaining vaccines in their office.
Well, it's a dilemma for private practices because you have to somehow predict 10 months in advance what you think you're going to need. And in years without much flu, nobody's getting them and just stuck with all this vaccine. In other years, everybody wants the vaccine, you can't get it.
Right.
And So it sounds like there's some buffer from that.
And we, there are a few vaccines that we do, they will take back also, and they will give us a credit for as well. So we've been kind of lucky there.
For the flu in particular, we decreased the amount that we get upfront because of pharmacists. The pharmacies in the area are also doing flu, so we don't see the numbers that we used to see.
Other questions? Then I'll entertain a motion to approve the proposed budget.
A motion.
Second.
Second.
Any other comments, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. You probably saw up front they had a list of the presentations for 2017, and they need a motion to approve those as well. So, second.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on those? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought this would be much longer.
Really? Good, I don't have to try to speak as faster than my brain can get the words out. What you just approved for the 2017 presentation is, please take note that the first, your first meeting in January, we're going to have a strategic planning meeting during that time. Our five-year, it's hard to believe, our five-year strategic plan expires at the end of this year, from 2011 to 2016, so we're moving into our next five-year strategic planning process, and that's for the Division of Health. So we've hired a facilitator this time, Gray Horse Strategies, and they will be walking us through the process. So that meeting is all orientation, sort of an introduction to the strategic planning process that we'll be engaging in. We'll be utilizing or including more people than we did the first time around. The first time was basically our staff, and we conducted everything internally, blended a lot of the presentations, looking at our values and mission and those particular items. This time around, we're including the Board of Health and some key stakeholders, such as Pam Holbrook from UWIC, and our department head, John Jansen, might attend. And we'll be talking about whether there's any other individuals that we might want to invite. But a general overview of the process is the orientation, which is this 1 hour. Then there will be a survey, an online survey, that will be sent out, pushed out, so that you can answer a series of questions. We'll have all of our staff answer those, including the Board of Health and any additional stakeholders. Then there will be two or three retreats. Each retreat will be 4 to 6 hours, and that will be walking through all of that engagement process. So I welcome whomever is interested and able, and if it's part of the retreats, some of them, I haven't scheduled them yet. They would be February, March, and April. So then I can send out a schedule, or if there's anyone that's really interested, I can work with your own personal schedule so that you can participate at some level. It could be conference calls too, have time to kind of conference in, whatever you're available to do so. Then finally, everything will be summarized by Gray Horse Strategies, and we'll be having a formal document that will be developed and then bound, so it'll look better than just copies with a staple in the corner. So that's the plan, and we're really excited about it. So I hope that you'll be interested and be able to participate, and I know how busy everybody is with their schedules. Second, I gave to you a letter that I sent to Governor Walker. It was just sharing about the success of our comprehensive home visitation program and sharing with him the results that we're seeing, and also the reduction in dollars that this program yields. It's $5.70 return on investment. I think that's critical. And we're meeting with these families up to about two and a half years. So we're really excited about this program. We're excited about the long-term results that we hope to achieve, such as self-sufficiency by the mother, a reduction in juvenile criminal activity, increased high school graduation rates. So those are just some of the measurements that we're tracking, we'll be tracking over time. And we're really still early in this grant or the grant cycle. We did, though, receive for the Family Foundation's Comprehensive Home Visitation Program, we just were awarded a 10-year grant. So we're very excited about that. Over the 10 years, we'll be bringing $12 million to our community through those additional grant funding resources. Just sharing with you, environmental staff, extremely busy. Charter 26 cleanup referrals increased dramatically in 2014. They were 775 total, 2015, 1,051, and this year to date, I have 1637, 1,000.
Yeah, that'd be last week's numbers.
Is that correct? Okay. And so we're talking about, double since, more than double since 2014, and quite a jump since last year also. Mark has been in conversation with the city, and this is their mission. They plan on cleaning up the city, so we're going to continue to see the number of referrals, cleanup referrals. And this is the parkway with garbage. It gets cluttered, and so...
Well, they want to clean up the city with us.
Yeah.
they just didn't notify us that we were going to be that cog in the wheel there, so...
So we'll be planning for that for the next year in 2017 and looking at how to organize his staff in order to manage the increase of referrals. I also wanted to share with you that communicable diseases are also up, and they've been upticking over a period of last couple of years. Since year to date, last year we have 150 more cases. And then since 2014, we have 250 more cases year to date. So mostly it's chlamydia, STDs, though that's the big area that we're seeing. We've had a few outbreaks, but they kind of, each year we have an outbreak. But just to be aware, these are confirmed cases. They do not include suspects or other investigations, so there's additional workload that goes on besides these numbers. Let's see, we're continuing to do our community health needs assessment, and the telephone survey should be wrapping up. I had mentioned that we were doing 400 phone calls to collect that information. They were having a little bit of struggle over 4th of July because of the holiday reaching people. I just completed interviewing 10 community leaders over the last couple of weeks and gathered their perspective on the health issues in our community. And lastly is just staffing. We have two public health nurses to hire, and we have two more that are on leave, and of those four, three are levy staff. And our levy staff traditionally do our communicable disease reporting and work with that. Any questions?
Yes, Cindy, will each of the retreat sessions cover a different area, or will it be a repeat for people who
different
can't
hear? Different area. Different area. It'll be just ongoing and building over a period of time. The third retreat might not be necessary. They said that's kind of optional. It's based on how much is accomplished in the previous two retreats. So the whole timeline and process will be explained at the January meeting.
I would encourage any of the board members who have the time to participate. It would help if we can get those dates.
Okay, we'll do.
Any other questions? Corporation Council?
Nothing really to report this.
Any other business? Okay, otherwise, entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you. Standing out in the middle of the bog.
Yeah.
Cranberry as well.
Yeah.
I hope you had your high tops on.
We had waiters.
Waiters.
Look at that. They like you.
I was walking out.
Yeah. Keep it moving.
It was this big black cloud. I was like, I can't cut you guys.
They approved my truck.
I know. That's all you care about.
Well, it's a 2001 I'm replacing.
No, it's good that you're leasing it, too. That's what we're doing with it. Because I have one kid in college and one's 16, so we're just leasing it for a year to get it from high school. Because my next kid isn't anywhere near. Yeah, and he's away, so it doesn't make sense to just get another car.
I have 5 cars, and I have 3 kids.
Yeah.
Going to college, I want to see it.
Yeah. The one up in college, we might have to buy the car this summer if he stays up there. So. He's at the University of St. Thomas, he's at St. Paul.
My son's in Madison, but he doesn't.